is totally unpalatable. Our board is absolutely committed to maintaining the classroom, and we're in the position of trying to figure out how we just might do that. So, just kind of giving you a view of where we are. Our community is extremely frustrated. I expect you'll be hearing, you've heard from them regularly, and I expect that you will continue to hear from them and perhaps hear new voices at this point in time. If I could just shift a little bit and talk about what's happening to the demise of the school system and the local economy. If you do not have a viable educational system and people get the perception that things are so dire, then it will truly affect our local economy. And even with one as pristine and, of course, I'm a little prejudiced here, wonderful as our local community is, that won't be enough to hold people here. So, again, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the opportunity to speak, and I would hope to work with you folks more closely through the rest of the legislative session.
Questions? Representative Garr?
Thank you, Melody. This is Les Garr speaking. Just so I can get the numbers straight, of the budget gap that you're facing for next year, in dollar amount, how much is that of that is for PERS and TERS, and how much of that is for everything else?
Through the chair, Mr. Garr, the PERS and TERS portion of our budget is $1.9 million.
Oh, that's the shortfall?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the amount that's associated with the incremental increase associated with both the TERS and the PER system.
And then the rest is $3.9 million, I guess? That's the rest of the shortfall?
About four, right.
All right, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'd talk more, but people here, I think, want to move on, but I appreciate it.
Representative Wilson,
Melanie, if you guys come up, you said your board is really trying to figure out ways that they can figure this out so that you don't have to lose services and things like that. I hope that when districts across the state come up with some even idea of something that they can do, that they will share it with other districts, because I know all the districts out there are just absolutely struggling to figure out what they can do and how they can soften the ramifications. So. And I guess I've got a little note here that says it's Melody instead of Melanie. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Representative Wilson. I believe that I cannot tell you of a better time in the history of, at least in my experience in the state. Certainly amongst the larger school districts, we're in contact with one another frequently, and I think that we're all working to that end, because quite frankly, we've all pretty much used up the various rabbits that we've had to pop out of our little hat. So I really appreciate your thoughts there in that. And certainly, I would ask the same of the legislature. If you hear of anything that you think we might be able to do, please pass it this direction. So if I could make one other comment, I forgot one other number I wanted to throw out here. And I need to be very careful about how I state this, because this is not any way, shape, or form how we would proceed. But it helps give people a perception of where we are. We have about 675, give or take, teaching staff in our district. And if you looked at an understanding that we cut 56 teachers last year, 10% of our classroom or teachers, the $6.8 million problem, that if you looked at it only from a FTE standpoint, full-time equivalency, it would be about 118 teachers. So, just another little snapshot of information to kind of help get the picture.
Follow-up? Representative Garr?
Thank you, Melody. I might have got the numbers wrong. So the total gap, including PERS and TERS, is 6.8 or 5.8?
6.8.
Oh, okay. I guess you asked for a suggestion on what you can do, and I would ask, and actually everybody listening to do this, there are only three legislators in this room right now. The point's been made pretty crystal clear to us. I would urge anybody who's able to send a note to all of the legislators, maybe just by email, but any way you can, what it is in terms of a base student allocation or statewide budget increase that's needed to just hold your schools harmless. And if you want to say what's needed to make your schools vibrant, say that too. But the other legislators need to hear it directly from you.
Thanks, sir.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you very much, Melody. Now I'm going to move to Margaret Gilman. Are you online?
Yes, I am. Again, I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify before your committee this afternoon. My name is Margaret Gilman, and I'm a member of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District Board of Education. But I would like to speak to you today as a parent of four school-aged children in the district. And I have to, with all due respect, let you know that when I hear the term hold education harmless, it makes my blood pressure increase substantially, because the education that my children are receiving today is not harmless. It is not at the level of the education that I received in this school district, being a graduate of Kenai Central in 1982. My oldest daughter is in eighth grade. She's in school with 308 students. There is no shop, no art, no home ec class. All of those offerings were there when I was a student at that school. Excuse me, when she goes on to high school next year, I can show you evidence of the course offerings that were there in 82 and the course offerings that are there now, and they are not the same. They are less. We've heard talk today about decrease in enrollment. I would represent to you that I would think that a great proportion of the decrease in enrollment is because of the fact that our schools on the Kenai are not able to offer the program that parents feel are necessary for a complete education. When we talked about the cuts just to our district last year, our district fired 10% of the certified teaching staff in our district. So those cuts are real. Those cuts have taken place in our classroom. One of the things I would like to address in terms of a foundation formula increase, you are absolutely right that one of the advantages of putting the money into the formula is that it does allow for more local funding. I would like to also point out that our district has been at the cap for the last 10 years. We are at the point where we're having a special vote on March 8th to determine if borough voters want to pay for extracurricular funds and a special appropriation through the borough. So we are, as a community, doing absolutely everything that we can to meet the educational needs of our district. And I just would please hope that the state meets that same level of commitment. In terms of the bill, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact number, that would have a grant system set up, I would respectfully say that, first off, we'll take any money that we can get in any form. That said, though, my experience with the Learning Opportunity Grants, I was quite pleased that money got rolled into the formula, because, quite frankly, the Learning Opportunity Grants, and really any grant system that you could come up with, has too many strings attached. It's my intention, or it would be my assumption that any local school board, their first priority would be teachers in the classroom. And if, as a state, as a state legislature, if you're finding that districts are not using their money for teachers in their classroom when they could, that's a remedy that the Department of Ed, the Department of Education should be making. So I was pleased to ask that instead of looking at opportunities for grants to be available to districts, please put the money into the foundation formula and let local school boards and local districts make that decision as to what teachers they want to fund and how to do that. So, thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you so much, Margaret. Questions? Representative Guerra.
Thank you. Margaret, this is Representative Guerra. I just want to amplify something that you were not really here, we're not supposed to make policy arguments very much, and so I didn't want you to misperceive my views on school funding. I also agree with you that holding harmless to last year does nothing to make up for all the losses to prior years. And just so you know, the bill that I filed last year was aimed to catch schools up to all the losses dating back to 1998 when we started the most recent foundation formula. And I'm sympathetic to going back more than just last year. I'm sympathetic to doing more than just 1 year's worth of inflation for the reasons you mentioned. Thanks.
If I could, Representative Guerra, and I very much appreciate your comments, and thank you for your explanation. Just to give you one more concrete example, when our district was talking about budgets for this year and the cuts that will have to be made for this year, one of the topics was looking at foreign language, and some of our high schools already don't offer our foreign language. My question to the administration was, how can we as a community attract new industry to our area if we do not have the courses necessary for admission into universities? I realize that not every single university requires foreign language, but those top universities in the country, that is a portion of their admission requirements. And the answer I received is that it's possible for students to apply for a waiver to those universities when they're applying for admission and say that the school that they attended was not able to offer foreign language. You know, that's not going to work for me. I want a school system that's proud of the education that the students have. I don't want my daughter to be in a school system where I have to write a note to the university and say, well, the school she attended in high school wasn't really all that great and they couldn't offer a foreign language, so can you please allow her admittance anyway? So, when I just look at that as one example of the priority that our state needs to put on education.
Okay. Further comments, questions? Representative Seaton?
Thank you. Yeah, I just, unfortunately, I missed part of the testimony, but I just wanted to make sure the committee knew that the things have gotten pretty interesting because the Kenai Peninsula is going out to a vote of the people to fund co-curriculars outside of the...
She just wrote it.
She did that?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure that was covered.
Thank you. I'd like to say also that Representative Seaton has joined us.
Again.
Return. So, thank you very much, Margaret.
Thank you very much.
There are other folks here that are Kenai, but I'm trying to spread around the state a little bit. And we will be continuing this on Monday, so please don't feel like you've been left out. We just have so much time to conduct hearings. And if you're not able to, we'll certainly take your written testimony. At this time, I want to move to Fairbanks. And talking with Amy Cryer. Are you online?
I am, thank you. My name is Amy Cryer, and I am a local PTA member. I'm also the legislative vice president for the Fairbanks Council of PTAs, but I'm speaking to you today mainly as a parent. I have two children in the school system here. Due to, mainly to FERS and TERS, a little bit to decrease enrollment, I think, our student population is down about 480 students this year, and an increase in property tax assessment. If Senate Bill 1, increasing the student-based allocation by $94, were to pass, and if we receive a $2 million local contribution from the borough, the Fairbanks Northstar Borough School District will be looking at $8.5 million in cuts. In a state that spends hundreds of millions every year to inflation through the $27 billion permanent fund, I think that this is outrageous. Not to mention being completely contrary to the statewide accountability efforts that hundreds have worked so hard on for so long. And you can forget about No Child Left Behind. The elimination of the Erie and STEAMI programs here alone would set hundreds of students at risk. And you combine that with increased class sizes and students who are currently borderline may be lost as well. I could speak for hours about the benefits of athletics and school activities that will have to be cut. From the way we bring students, families, and communities together, and what they teach us about ourselves, about teamwork, and about winning and losing. They're the only incentive some students have to attend school regularly and to maintain good grades. But more important, the elimination of athletics and activities means pay to play. I have a real problem with pay to play in public education. It'll eliminate the possibility of participation for many low-income students and reestablish the separation between the have and the have-nots. We're looking at terminating 100 teachers who may not be around when enrollment increases or funding is increased, and the loss of jobs that hundreds of administrators, teachers, and support staff statewide will have a huge effect on our economy. I believe the student-based allocation should be increased by a minimum of $294 to $4,463. This takes the student-based allocation established by Senate Bill 36 of $3,940 and adjusts it for inflation using the Consumer Price Index for the Anchorage area through 2003. Giving credit for the $70 increase that took effect in July of 2001 in Senate Bill 74. This does not give credit for last year's increase of $159 because that increase took money already being used to fund K-12 education and simply relabeled it. But it also does not add into the requested increase the amount, an amount to compensate for the loss of community schools, tuition for the state, or people transportation money. In closing, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak. I wish it wasn't necessary. The funding formula, in my mind, should really be tied to inflation. We shouldn't have to fight the same battle year after year to receive adequate funding for public education. I'm told again and again by legislators that they will not tie the hands of future legislators by inflation-proofing the foundation formula. Yet it's done all the time in a variety of forms. It's done every time we enter into a long-term contract with state employees. It's done when the state mandates by statute contribution percentages for retirement and other benefits. We even inflation-proof the permanent fund, yet we refuse to recognize the effects of inflation with regard to K-12 education, the only funding that's constitutionally mandated. I would argue that we're tying the hands of future legislators by not inflation-proofing the formula. The adequacy of our public schools and the quality of education the Alaskan children receive has a far-reaching effect and will, in the long run, affect every aspect of our economy and future state budget. Thank you.
I'd like to thank you, Amy, for your very persuasive testimony. And are there any questions? Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Amy. I'd love to have a voice like that added down here to the mix. So think about running for office someday. The base student allocation recommendation of $4,463, I guess, is that the statewide PTA's recommendation?
No, theirs is actually, I think, $4,469, but in doing the computation, which I did by going to the state labor statistics, I think, website, I came up a few dollars short of that, about $6 short of that.
So, and that makes up for inflation since we started the foundation formula, but not for losses in pupil transportation and tuition students and community schools? Is that what you...
That's correct.
Okay. That's a real helpful starting point. I hope you might have the time to spread that word with the other legislators as well.
I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further questions? Okay. We're going to move to Homer. And this will be the last person that we'll take, and we don't have much time as this ends at 2:30 today. But I'd like to remind everybody online that we'll be back on February 10th at 11 in the morning and go to 1 p.m. To continue this. And we'll go with Debbie Poor. Are you online, Debbie?
Yes, I am. My name is Debbie Poor, and I'm a parent of a high school student, first grader, and I'm also a retired teacher. Thank you for this opportunity to speak with you. I appreciated the editorial in the Anchorage Daily News Sunday titled Kenai Schools. If you haven't had a chance to read it, I encourage you to do so. This afternoon, I am here to voice my opinion for full funding for our schools. For many years, we've encouraged a system where school districts have had to continually lobby for their funding. Unfortunately, this has created a situation like crying wolf. And now, when they are truly desperate, we don't believe them and we can't hear them. I realize the state is having hard times economically. However, if we do not first secure sufficient funding for our schools, it won't matter how we handle other projects, because our children and young people won't have the skills required to succeed in contemporary life. I truly appreciate all the difficult work you do. Please keep in mind the timeless adage, schools are our future, but only if we provide for them today. Thank you.
Okay. Question of the representative. Okay, well, I'm going to partly recess this meeting until February 10th, but thank everybody for their testimony. Please send in written if you're not going to be able to make it on February 10th, and we will continue then. So I will recess this meeting.